Hey, Catholic Divas. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Come on into the podcast, and we are going to be talking about the beauty of the resurrection. Alleluia. Alleluia. Hey, this is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky. Welcome to the Cycles and Sanctity podcast.
I'm a Billings Ovulation Method instructor and a certified Catholic mindset coach.
And I'm a labor and delivery nurse, an IBCLC, and a La Leche League leader.
We're here to share with you the beauty and the pain of your cycles.
Have you considered honoring your cycles throughout the journey of your womanhood?
Have you ever considered your cycle as a tool towards your holiness?
Well, sisters, it is. We're excited to walk this journey with you.
So go grab your favorite journal and pen and your hot beverage, and let's do this. Well, welcome back, Catholic Divas. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Alleluia. It is Easter season, and we are so joyful. Mama Vicky, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How has the resurrection changed your life?
Wow. It's a big question.
I know.
You know, the resurrection has changed my life in that I have hope. I always have hope.
Praise God. Yes.
And even on the days when I feel not worthy, because we're not, He has given us hope forever. So it's just so joyful. And, you know, we're discussing a little bit before, you know, how has my joy in the resurrection changed over the years as I've, quote, grown up? You know, I always had the faith and I always loved Easter and I loved the holiday. I loved the spring. I loved the happiness from like a more childlike view. And then as a young mother, you're just kind of busy and we get distracted with the Easter egg type things. And maybe just as a busy young mother, a lot of times you don't get to focus on how you really want to focus. And I'm so grateful to keep walking in our faith because it just becomes more and more meaningful. And there's a lot that we're inundated with through social media that is so negative, but the passion and the resurrection of Christ is just so joyful. And that's what makes us Christian.
Yes, absolutely. It is. This is the moment that makes us Christian, is the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, then a man just was condemned to die and he died, which is kind of what we talked about last week with the Holy Triduum is we walked into, yes, it was a horrible death. Yes, he suffered a lot, but there have been also a lot of people who have suffered a lot, right? But the resurrection is just so amazing. And I love Father Mike Schmitz. He talks a lot about this, about like the disciples didn't understand. He told them three times, we're going to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to kill me. But don't worry, on the third day, I will rise again. They didn't understand it.
That would be a hard thing to understand. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. You know,
people die and then they don't come back.
Right.
And even great people. I mean, other amazing men and women in the Bible that did amazing things.
But he also, I mean, all of these disciples witnessed the rising of Lazarus.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
And Jairus's young daughter. So they had seen him
rise.
Doing the impossible. And yet they didn't understand with him how he could do that. And that's the thing that I love about our faith, is the fact that the disciples didn't even believe it at the beginning. You know, I mean, what did Thomas say? Nope, not unless I see the nail marks in his hands and see the wound in his side, I'm not going to believe that he has come back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of those things of like, how much will we believe when we don't experience the flesh and blood of him, even though we do receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist.
You know, and that's a lot. I know I get this question all the time, that many Christian religions don't understand our view of the Eucharist. And it just gives me so much joy. I mean, that's why I love talking about the Eucharist, because I just want to scream from the rooftops, like, why wouldn't you believe this? But if you just aren't, if you learned of a different mindset, it sounds scary sometimes. Like, what do you mean you're eating the blood and the flesh of Jesus? That sounds awful, but it isn't. And that's what he's commanded us to do. And it's just such a beautiful thing. This question just kind of keeps rolling around in my mind. I mean, what would happen if Christ didn't die on the cross? We didn't have the resurrection. I mean, that would just, what hope would we have?
That is a very interesting question, because I mean, I go back to Genesis. I mean, he gave the promise, like he had a plan B, right?
Yeah.
And those are the kinds of questions. It's like, well, you know, why did he let Adam and Eve eat the fruit? Why did he put the tree there? Like, you know, there's right. all these why whys. But part of it is like, first of all, if you did get a chance to go to Easter Vigil, there's a beautiful song, The Exultant. And it talks about the happy fault. Like without the original sin, there was no need for Christ to come mm-hmm. to redeem us. And so right. as awful as the original sin is, the original wound, the original trauma, which causes the open the door of all sin. And yet God has this even better plan, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is, it is kind of crazy. Like what would happen? Well, I mean, there would be no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which is a horrible thought.
Yeah. Going back to last week's Triduum, is one of the things I've come to understand is that on Holy Saturday, it talks about the sleeping of Christ, the tomb, like he truly died and descended into hell. That's what our faith, what our creed says. When he descends into hell, we think, oh my goodness, he went into like where Satan lives, right? But really, it's not the hell of damnation. It's the hell of the righteous. Because think about it, Moses, Abraham, Sarah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of these Old Testament people who were righteous, who were friends of God, David, the gate of heaven was not open. So they could not cross that chasm. While they had faith in God and while they practiced their faith and while they had a relationship with him, there was this impossible chasm that only Christ with his cross could create that bridge. And it is a beautiful, beautiful reading on, I think it's on, I forgot, Holy Saturday night, on this old homily about when Christ goes and he sees Adam and he says, come, wake, O sleeper. And I always think about that, like he went and saw Joseph. Like his dad.
It gives me goosebumps right now.
Me too. And how joyful. And yet all of our Old Testament brothers and sisters had that hope and they didn't get to see it.
Right.
Right. We get to see and we don't, sometimes we just take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very easy to do, especially in our world of instant gratification and things that we think make us happy, but eternal life is the ultimate prize. I mean, because none of us gets out of here alive.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. It's happened to everybody.
Yeah, no matter how cool you are, you don't have a forever pass except for in the afterlife.
That's right.
Which is only through Jesus.
Right.
And it's joyful and exciting. And it's a scary thought to some people that don't have faith. Like, that's terrifying. You know, the thought of this being that this life is finite here on earth.
But that's the reality.
It is the reality.
And I think that's one of those things that, you know, COVID gave us was the fact that how finite it truly is, and preaching that there is an afterlife and there is your choice. And that's one of those things that's really interesting. I just have to share, there's a quote from St. Augustine that I just love is, God created us without us, but he will not save us without us. We have to assent our free will to him. We have to make that choice. Do I choose God or do I choose Satan?
Right. And God does not desire separation. He desires communion. He wants us to choose him. So he's not the bad things that happen in your life. God's not setting them up, but he brings good even out of the most tragic situations.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, St. Paul talks about that, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And yet it doesn't mean like we should be going and sinning because we're going to get all this grace. It's that hope that you talk about is that is, Father John Ricardo has this beautiful book called Rescued. And I read it and I highly recommend everyone to read it. It's a very easy read, but he teaches us how to give the kerygma, which is the gospel of our Lord, in a very simple terms without any biblical reference. Because unfortunately, that's a lot of times in our day and age, our young people or many people in our world don't even have the concepts or understanding of what the Bible even talks about. So how do you share the resurrection without someone who doesn't even know any kind of Judeo-Christian heritage, mm-hmm. right? And it's beautiful. He gives these four words that it totally changed my life. First is the created. We have to acknowledge that, why is there something rather than nothing?
Right.
Who created this? Like all the stars, all the, you know, there has to be a creator. Why did he create it? He created it for us. But then because of original sin, we were captured. So that was the second word, created, and then we're captured. And we don't understand that either. We don't understand how Satan continually tries to capture us. And capturing us, again, it's with our own free will, right? Like we assent to, we agree with our will to him through sin. And we don't understand the magnanimity of that.
Well, we don't want to understand it either.
Right, exactly. But the good news is that then we are rescued. And that is what the resurrection, the passion, the death, and the resurrection. Father John Ricardo talks about the passion, the crucifixion is, he says, he had this meditation and an ambush predator, the word ambush predator came to mind. And if you know of any, an ambush predator animal in creation, what it does is it pretends it's dead so that then its prey comes to it and smells it, and then it catches it. And that's exactly what Christ did on the cross. Like, if you've ever seen the Passion of Christ, like Satan is like giving cheers. Or even if you've read the Narnia series, The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, mm-hmm. right? When they've got Aslan on the table and all of the evil things and poor Lucy and Susan.
Yeah, Susan.
And they're watching and they're crying because they're like, no, how can they do that, right? And they're joyful, right? And they're just like, yes. That's what he talks about is like Jesus goes in with the cross as an ambush predator and he dies. But in the Passion of the Christ, when he takes his last breath, Satan realizes he just walked into the trap,
mm-hmm.
which is so amazing. And he literally rescues us. But then the beautiful thing is that he also restores us. And that's what the resurrection is so about. It's like he's bringing us back into his family. It's just so amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Lots of thoughts, right?
Yeah, right. I know.
But one of the other things I want to share about that is it's one of the reasons why if you got to go to Mass, you went to Easter Vigil, or you got to go to Easter morning Masses or anything, it is a time when we renew our baptismal vows.
Yes, we were having the same thoughts in our moment of silence.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny because I love Father Mike Schmitz. He describes the renewal of our baptism promises is a Catholic two-step. So we reject Satan and we reject all his empty promises and lies, and I can't remember the rest of it. And then he goes, and then we turn towards God and we acknowledge Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our creed. So this is a beautiful time to renew our baptismal vows.
It is. And reflecting on, you know, my daughter's confirmation the other week, we renewed, you know, we watched them renew their vows. And of course you do in the congregation as well. And it's always, it's such a simple reminder. It's not a hard test. I mean, the answer is I do. And to me, it always reinforces like, yeah, I do reject Satan, you know, and most of us, Satan is a very sneaky guy. I mean, he doesn't introduce sin looking like sin. And then he also then plants seeds of doubt and it kind of tricks you. He does try to trick you. But in the end, even if you just go back to renewal of the vows, it can set you right very quickly.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it can also remind you that God has mercy and he has grace. And that's what the resurrection is all about, his grace and mercy.
Yes.
And we can walk across the chasm and we can look forward to that. And we too will be resurrected. And we, you know, maybe if we spend more time reflecting on what kind of body do I want to get up in instead of whatever Satan thinks he wants us to do, you know, because it's just such a gift. We have such a gift. And we've said this in our podcast over and over, because we're doing this podcast because it is true. There's just so much lies and hate and dishonesty rampant in this world. And, you know, that doesn't mean it's won. God has already won. As a matter of fact, the battle is already won. It's just which side do you want to end up on?
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting because years ago, I remember during the Easter season, I heard a homily, and this priest was talking about, and I may have said this, was that that first night of the resurrection, when our Lord appeared in the upper room to the disciples, and they were astonished, right? Like, they were still trying to figure out, like, where is his body? What happened to his body? Why is his body not in the tomb? Mary Magdalene's telling him that she saw him, but they don't really believe. They're so confused. And the first words out of his mouth is, "Peace be with you." And this pastor said, not like the world, it's not like kumbaya. No, it's looking you in the eye, Peter, and saying, "I know you denied me three times. I have no ill will towards you."
Yes.
And that has changed my whole perspective of how I interact with myself, how I try to interact with others. Because if God gives me peace, can look me in the eye and say, "I know what you did, but I don't have any ill will towards you." I think that's the biggest thing. Like, most people think that because we talk about, we believe that he will come to judge the living and the dead, right? We think that he's already judged, and yet he hasn't. There's no condemnation. I mean, in the Gospel of John, John 10:10, you know, Jesus says, "The thief comes to lie, steal, and destroy, slaughter and destroy. I have come to give life and life abundantly." Like, I'm here to give you salvation. I want you to come. I have no ill will towards you.
Well, and that's where we have to separate our humanity from his divinity. I mean, we humans, we're human. And if we feel like we're wronged, well, we want retaliation. We want vengeance. We want, you know, even a lot of times if you say, I mean, forgiveness to really truly forgive someone means you let it go. You give peace be with you. This happened. But still, our human hearts, if somebody wronged you, you're always going to have a slight tug. You're going to remember. And that's the beauty of confession.
Yes.
When you go to confession, God literally doesn't remember. I mean, he's like, "Okay, you've confessed this. Now we're probably we're going to go out and mess up again." But he is always there with open arms. And that, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, you asked, "How's it changed my life now that my kids are older and I have time to dedicate?" You know, and that's, you can be devout and have young children. I've grown in my faith, and it's just so amazing. It's so, again, it's just hopeful. It's so truly hopeful, because if you stay in our secular world, you can become hopeless very quickly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take long.
Mm-hmm.
Miss 2 weeks of mass, and then look at your attitude. If that's not a challenge. Please don't miss 2 weeks of mass. But if you
do, go to confession beforehand. Yes.
But, you know, when you get busy or have to work or an ill child or something prevents you from going, I inevitably, every time I look at my life and it seems to be in chaos or in a mess, I have gotten off the path, off the good path.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever been like, "You know what? I know this is wrong and I'm going to do it." It's more like you're doing it or have just done it, and then you know it's wrong, you know? And
right.
And so then you kind of scramble and like try to make it look not wrong. I mean, we're all like that. Like, "Well, maybe, you know, it's not that wrong, God. I mean, it was just a little bit wrong." No, wrong is wrong. Kind of like they say in court, facts, just the facts, ma'am. Did you do A or B? And then B is the answer.
Yes, exactly. And, yeah.
But the fact that God does forgive us, I think it's just so beautiful. We don't have to understand it.
Right.
You know, we won't understand it. God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
But we can be grateful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the other thing I think is also that gives us hope in the fact that because he becomes the ambush predator and because he has conquered death, I mean, he has conquered death.
Yeah.
He has conquered sin and death in the fact that we don't have to sin. Like, we have another option. And the fact that he's our protector. He's our champion, you know?
Shepherd.
He's our good shepherd. And going back to Claire's confirmation, I love the way that Archbishop Naumann, he was talking about the cross here, the shepherd. Yes. And he literally picked it up and he was like showing them, like, you know.
Looking at a couple kids that looked maybe
that were
not completely attentive.
But that's what he does. That's what Jesus does for us too, is that he is the good shepherd. And what does he say? The shepherd knows his sheep and the sheep know his voice. And that's the biggest key, is like, do we hear his voice? Do we hear him? Do we recognize him? I mean, you know, Mary Magdalene, if we think about this resurrection and this experience of the resurrection, and listeners, I really want to encourage you to go back and read all four of the Gospels of the moment of resurrection, of that morning of the resurrection, and how each of the disciples was interpreting it and experiencing it. But Mary Magdalene, like, she was so upset because she was so devoted. And when she saw Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. And, you know, was like, please look, if you've taken his body, please tell me where you put him. And it wasn't until he said her name that she recognized him. He says our name because he's a personal God who desires a personal relationship.
Yes.
You know, it's like one of those things that it's hard to fathom, but there's a saying of like, if you were the only one that Christ would have offered his life for, he would have done it only for you.
And that's just so profound.
Right?
I mean, a lot of my prayer life has been either A, trying to tell God my plan that he needs to work out, and or my complaints, my very long list of how other people need to get better so my life could be better. And, you know, as I've learned and grown in my faith, for a long time, I didn't know how to listen. God is just a funny way of every time I say never or I need this, and he's been giving it to me like 42 times and I just missed it. You know, I always say, I need a burning bush. And then I look back on my situation, I was like, I had a house fire. I mean, I was more than a bush. You know, but it takes faith to believe that he's going to answer. You have to believe.
Yes.
And some people may hear him clear as we're talking right now, but it's not always that in your face.
Right.
A lot of times it's very subtle, but if you think about it and you're prayerful, and that's why it's good to take those 5 minutes in the morning and just say, today's the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad. And just say, you know, Lord, what do you have in store for me today? Because you're going to run into adversity every single day. Some days are worse than others. I mean, some days you stub your toe and some days your car has flat tire.
Yeah.
Or some days you get terrible news. You know, Jane and I, my mom was bit by a tick and went into a coma. We did experience a near-death experience with her and just her recovery, and we didn't think she would live. And what did we decide? It was 30 years later,
27
years later.
28 years, yeah.
She's not only alive, but living well and with us.
And the capability that she has.
And all the things that, I mean, that was a tragedy. That was a terrible, very scary thing. And in the moment when it happened, there seemed to be no good news. Like, everybody was just so gloom and doom. Our family was just, everyone was overwhelmed. Nobody really knew how to react. And look at all the good things that has come from that tick bite. I mean, I just think that my mom is different. She is more faithful. My children have had the opportunity to grow up with her. Just, there's just so many blessings. I could go on and on. That's not what this is about today. But if you look at your life and you just sit back and think for a minute, there really are moments where God is, where you thought, my life is over. This world, you know, this is just so terrible, but God's right there and he builds better things.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately we have heaven to look forward to. So if you could think of a time it was so terrible and then you see the good things that came out of it anyway, that's not even close to what heaven's like.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
You can't even imagine the joy of heaven.
That's what St. Paul says is, you know, no eye has seen or no ear has heard the blessings. Like, we can't even imagine the beauty, the magnitude, the love that is going to overwhelm us. It's one of the reasons why I personally love to study the saints and I love to study the martyrs, because it's like, what were they so convicted that, you know, especially in the early church, just put a teaspoon of incense on this altar and worship the emperor, Caesar. That's all you have to do. Just a teaspoon of incense. That's all you have to do. And then you can go back and, but no, they were not willing to do that. And they were willing to die for the faith because they had the hope in the resurrection, in eternal life, in seeing Jesus face to face. Like, that is, sisters, I want to just exhort you, like, that has been the changing moment for me. It's like I was talking to, you know, Viggy's from Kansas. And so, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs have won the Super Bowl, but we're now in beginning of April, Super Bowl's over, but do you think that they're not looking forward to the next Super Bowl? Like, the Super Bowl is always on their mind. It's what eternal life should, we as Christians should always have eternal life in our
sight.
Consciousness.
In our sight.
In our sights. And the other thing is, because we are a resurrection people and alleluia is our cry, others should see us. And as St. John Paul II used to say, we Christians should be a question mark to the others in the world. Why are you different? Why do you do this? And then we can give them the testimony, because Jesus has loved me, therefore I am called to love you.
And I want you to come with me.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I want everybody to go to heaven.
Right. Exactly. And come to Mass. Come experience Jesus.
Yeah. You know, a really exciting thing. I was very surprised. Claire, my daughter that was confirmed, she really has the Holy Spirit within her by God's grace. And she had two of her friends that don't go to church at all show up to her confirmation on a Tuesday night.
Yes. I know. That was so amazing, wasn't it?
Yes. And so just a little spark, like who knows where that will go.
Exactly.
You know, but those parents allowed them to go to Mass.
Yeah.
You just never know when your opportunities are going to come. And it's just such a joyful thought. I mean, Easter's just so beautiful and so happy and amazing. And
yes,
I just don't know why we don't take a week off.
Well, we should take a week. Constantly. I mean, you know, in some Catholic schools, they do take Easter week off. But the other thing, I'm really glad you said that, because one of the things I want to remind you, dear listeners, is that even though we had 40 days of Lent, we actually have 50 days of Easter, because Easter doesn't end on Easter Day or even Easter week. No, we celebrate Easter for 50 days until Pentecost. Mm-hmm. So we should be having joy. And I'm going to share a little, yes, and hope, but also there's a beautiful virtue that I'm going to teach you. It's called eutrapelia, eutrapelia. It's holy fun. It's holy fun. We should be having holy fun. That's why we have the Easter egg hunts. That's why we have the Easter games and the Easter joy and laughing and joking. I mean, like, this is the difference, because we can look at death in the face and say, oh, death, where's your sting? Where's your bite? Like, no, like, for me personally, I'm going to say it on this podcast and we can record this and you guys can play this when I'm finally dead, is like, I do not want anybody to be crying at my funeral. I want you all to be joyful and happy and celebrating. Like, I won the race, hopefully. I mean, I'm going to keep my eyes on Christ, and that is my journey. So we are trying to encourage you all as well.
You know, it is very true. I really was convicted when I was 8 years old, my grandma's mom passed. And that's what I remember, is that the family was all there and everybody was happy. And I told my grandma, I just don't understand. Like, aren't we supposed to be sad? I'm not a kid. I mean, I didn't really know her and I wasn't really sad, but I felt like we were supposed to be sad. And she said, I'm not sad. I'm excited. My mom's in heaven. I mean, she's finally with Jesus. I can't wait till I'm there.
Yeah.
And that's just such a neat thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I don't want crying at my funeral either.
Yeah. Now, of course, and we can also talk about this as, you know, purgatory and actual heaven, but even purgatory is not part of hell. Purgatory is part of heaven. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, we've been talking about, so I'm going to say this right now, if you have a question about the faith, or if you would like us to have a conversation about a certain topic, we want to invite you to go to the Facebook group, join our Facebook group, Cycles and Sanctity, and have a conversation there. DM us and say, hey, this is something I've been wondering about the faith. Because we've talked about that,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, or come over and tell us your Easter joys. I mean, I know it's intimidating to come to a new Facebook group and start talking, but I mean, that's a great place to start. The happiness and joys you've experienced this Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So amen. We hope to see you on the Facebook page.
Yes, amen. And so what I'm going to do today, Catholic Divas, is we are going to pray the prayer of Easter Sunday Divine Office, okay, of the Office of the Reading. So, name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, creator of all, today is the day of Easter joy. This is the morning on which the Lord appeared to men who had begun to lose hope and opened their eyes to what the scriptures foretold, that first he must die, and then he would rise and ascend into his Father's glorious presence. May the risen Lord breathe on our minds and open our eyes, that we may know him in the breaking of the bread and follow him in his risen life. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, before you go, I have a question to ask you. Have you joined our Facebook group page? Cycles and Sanctity? Well, we want you to go ahead and go over to Facebook and just look up Cycles and Sanctity and come on and join our group, and we can continue having this conversation over there.